Well, good morning. Welcome to the Good Friday service of Elam Chapel. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Graham. Please pray with me and we'll begin our service. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to remember the death and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We pray that you would be with us today, that you would speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 43. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one that I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus, and when they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands.' Yet even their testimony did not agree." Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophesy." And the guards took him and beat him. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him!" they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns, and they set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and they spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Just One Nail by Deborah and Belka. One nail was all it took to crucify Christ that day. All it took was just one nail for the crowd to get their way. One nail was all it took for the people to begin to yell, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Put hammer to that nail. One nail was all it took for them to secure his fate. One large iron nail became the spike of their estate. One nail was all it took as the voices soared, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And so they nailed the Lord. One nail was all it took, though they used all three, but it took just that one nail, so all sinners could go free. All it took was the first nail for the crowd to be satisfied. One nail was all it took for Jesus to be sacrificed.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, the darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," they said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely, this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph, and of Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. On this Good Friday, we reflect on Jesus' death and sacrifice and on what it meant for each one of us. The cross in ancient times was a symbol of death and oppression. Today, it is a symbol of hope, of life, of many things. What does the cross mean to you? To help us in our reflection today, we have 2 stories from our congregation. Brian and Brendine will read these stories for us, but these are not their stories. They are just the voices for you to hear today. Please join us in listening and reflecting.
To me, the cross represents my salvation received through Jesus, my relationship with Jesus, and his sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. My cross to bear is my struggle with mental health and depression. This had looked like living in darkness without hope, battling against negativity and self-doubt. God has given me victory by pulling me out of the darkness and showing me how much I have to live for, and by revealing to me his promise that all the battles are already won. He has also reminded me to lean on him each and every day, on the bad days and the good days, and that through him I can live my life to the fullest.
To me, the cross is a gold standard of love, for its message is that God would rather die than live without me. It is why I revere and love God, because I know how much I have been forgiven and how deeply I am loved. The cross also reminds me of my high calling to love others. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we come to know love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." I look to the cross for my example, but I need the Holy Spirit's enablement to love as I should. The love I have experienced in this church has been a powerful sermon of God's love for me. I have great struggles with loneliness, but here too I know Jesus understands better than anyone. In his earliest, darkest day nights, his 12 closest companions were reduced to 11, and a few hours later, 8 more fled, fearing for their lives. So finally, there were only 3, and they fell asleep. So not much comfort there. Yes, Jesus suffered unimaginable loneliness, so that he could be my compassionate companion. And from this same Jesus, I have his promise. I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Yes, I am by myself, but I am not alone. He transforms my loneliness into solitude as I discover the richness of his presence. He assures me that he will keep me close, hide me in his shelter, and set my feet on rock, so that the storms of life will not overwhelm me. And if these storms, difficult and painful things, are hurled in my path, I must still keep my eyes on the cross, for it reminds me these too are from a hand of great love and cannot come without his permission. There is also struggles with guilt. An English playwright once pulled a mischievous trick. He anonymously mailed an identical note to 20 very famous people, saying simply, and I quote, "Everybody has found out what you are doing. If I were you, I would get out of town." It is reported all 20 promptly left town on the fear of being found out, especially by God. I too have done deeds less than noble and words less than kind and had thoughts less than pure. In God's great mercy, he became the sacrifice to fully atone for all my sins, washed by his blood, buried in an ocean of love. Knowing how much I have been forgiven freely, lavishly, and unconditionally reminds me that I too must be quick to forgive. Amazing grace, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Thank you for joining us today. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be down here at the front following the service. I'd love to pray with you. And please join us on Easter Sunday at 10:30 for our service. And if you would like to, join us this evening at 7 p.m. for a screening of The Passion of the Christ. Go in peace.